But do you all know that we've been put off until March because the surgeon ended up having to have surgery? So that knocked us back 6 weeks or so till we can find out everything. We don't even know the results of the MRI. We know what the results are. We just would like to hear it from the doctor. So anyway, so that's where we're at. So y'all keep us in mind because Craig, his symptoms have actually gotten worse since we got back from Arkansas. And we think it happened because the doctor tried to manipulate Craig's neck a little bit and it hadn't been okay since. And so he's had a little, some extra symptoms. So y'all keep us in your prayers over that. And it's made life a little bit more difficult for him. And I'll just tell you, he has a hard time talking and a hard time swallowing. So y'all can specifically be praying about that, okay? But Craig was talking about aha moments. And since I've been walking with the Lord, and I'm so very fortunate, I've been in the same church. I think I'm going on my 35th year here now. And, you know, Bishop has always, as long as I've ever been in this church, he's talked about relationship with Jesus. He's talked to us about being in Christ. And I can truly say this, that since May, Mother's Day, since the Lord did what he did on Mother's Day, just has wowed me to no end. I mean, it's like nonstop. It's like he'll say stuff and I'll be like, I've heard it a million times, and it's like I'm just hearing it again. We all know this has been the theme of our life around here, is what I'm saying right now for everybody, that everybody knows it's God. He's just on fire. He's pouring out revelation to us right now. Anybody who wants it can have it. Anybody. It's God is giving it to us all. But I had an aha moment when I was in my early 20s. I was after the Lord. I would see these people, and they would be like, they just had this security about knowing that God loved them. And I'd been taught that my entire life, that God loved me. And I knew that I believed it because I'd been taught it, and the Bible tells me so. But I knew in here, I didn't know it. I didn't have that thing in me that just went off that said, I'm loved by God. I did not have that. And I just went after the Lord. Now, I honestly don't think that it takes a long time to have these aha moments. Not now, especially not now. You know, anointing builds. And we have built into some anointing that moves very, very fast. And I think that's where we're at. But back then, y'all, I'm telling you, for 2.5 years, I was at God's feet, and I was telling him, I have to know. I've got to know, not here, but here, that you love me. And I was reading a book called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Awesome book. I was reading that book, and all of a sudden, I was sitting in my chair in the living room, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, I'm loved. I'm loved. I am loved. And I had an aha moment. And the Lord told me that he loved me. And I saw it, and it rocked my world, and I've never, never been the same since. That one revelation and rocked my world so much that you could never, ever tell me that God didn't love me again. You just couldn't do that. So I'm going to try not to drink a lot of water, but y'all, I'm probably going to have to. But the one thing that I noticed, even in finding out how much God loved me, I still battled a lot of rejection, a lot. And I was very young in the Lord, and I can remember some of the older ladies saying to me, well, you just really struggle with rejection. And I remember thinking, no, I don't. No, I don't. I don't see it. Well, guess what? I didn't see it yet. But I can remember the day that I saw that I really struggled with rejection. I was convinced that I was loved, but love for me always was conditional. You know, if you're not pleasing to someone, they let you know it. And so my what I thought was love was not really true love, not what I was going to find in my years of walking with the Lord. But I realized one day that I just really struggled with rejection. And I could tell that one of the first things that I realized in struggling with rejection was that people could say stuff to me and I didn't really believe it. I just would be like thinking that they were just telling me that just to be sweet, you know. I didn't believe they really thought that about me. When you struggle with rejection, and I'm just going to lay out a few things here. When you struggle with rejection, you live with a constant thing of feeling like that you're not pleasing to the Lord. You live with this constant thing of always thinking that you've done something that's offensive to the Lord, that he, you know, I said this, I thought this, I, you know, and you just think that God's mad at you or displeased with you. You feel like people don't like you. You don't believe when someone tells you something good about yourself. You're afraid to do it wrong because you're afraid of the outcome. You're afraid of the condemnation. You're afraid of the rejection you'll go through. You always feel like you're not good enough. There's a big one for men. They especially deal with this. They deal with a lot of rejection when it comes to money because they feel like if they don't steward it just perfect, that they're going to have to suffer some kind of rejection from the Lord over it. Like, sorry, no blessing for you. You didn't do it right. And that is a form of rejection. Rejection will make you feel like no one listens to you. You'll feel like that your ideas don't matter and you're scared to actually give your ideas. That's rejection. That's what it looked like for me. Y'all, I couldn't even go in somewhere and fill out, we went to this convocation and I had to fill out the registration. I was terrified of doing it wrong, y'all. So what if I did it wrong, right? I mean, who in the world is going to reject you over that? But that is exactly how I felt. And so over the years of walking with the Lord, something that that the Lord's really done for me over the years, because when he revealed to me about rejection, he revealed it because he wanted to heal it. So he started healing it. Y'all, it runs very deep. And I really, to be honest, I don't know very many people that don't struggle with rejection. You have encounters with God and you're getting healed and you're walking out of it and you're really finding new revelation with the Lord. But I just don't know very many people who didn't start in a deep place of rejection and just for the rest of our lives, we'll be just learning more and more about how much he loves us until we see him face to face and we are made perfect. Those are just the things that plague us. And it's easy for the enemy to do that to us, to trick us into thinking that somebody's mad at us and they may be mad at you. I don't know. But there's a point to that. There's a point for me saying that somebody might get mad at you, but God won't. And when you learn, when you start getting your acceptance from him, you quit worrying as much about other people being mad at you. So if you find yourself obsessed with worrying that you, with every little thing you said or did, and worrying about people being mad at you, or if they get mad at you, if it consumes you to the point where you can't function, you probably struggle with some rejection. When you have this aha moment with the Lord and you start just really looking at him, then the thing is that he transforms your inner man. And so the fear of other people rejecting you, God heals. You just get to where you're not thinking about it all the time. You're not all the time thinking that you said something wrong or did something wrong. You're walking in. You're walking in what he's saying. And since he never rejects you, no matter what you do, no matter what trial you're walking through, no matter what failure. And here's the thing, is that most people would stand very firm in, oh yeah, God's not going to reject me if I do it all right. But most people would say, if I'm in a place of failure, that God's just not, you feel like he's going to reject you. Well, scripture's very clear that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I think we all know this, that when he says there, the language there, when he says I'll never leave you, he means I won't leave you physically. I won't leave you. But forsake you would mean he won't leave you emotionally. He will not leave you emotionally. He will not turn his heart from you. He will not turn his eyes away from you. He never turns his eyes from us or his heart. He's always calling us back in. And that's another aha moment that I had, was that God's always calling us to himself. He's always calling us up. He never calls us out. We do that to each other. He does not do that. If you go sit down with him and you want to talk to him about your failure, this is what you're going to find. I don't know what you're talking about. What I just, all I see is this beautiful, wonderful, holy woman of God, and he just start, or man of God, and he just starts affirming you and drawing your eyes back to him, because when your eyes are on him, well, then you're not walking in failure, right? But I went through a season where everything just seemed so hard, and everything seemed so, I just felt like I was one failure after another, and it was rough. And then I was just talking to the Lord about it, and I thought, man, Lord, I've really wasted time, and I've really let some stuff get by me. And this is what the Lord said to me. I'm going to turn to Isaiah. You guys don't have to turn there. He spoke to me out of Isaiah 51, and he said, "For the Lord will comfort Zion in her captivity. He will comfort all her ruins. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and a voice of a melody." In Isaiah 49, 20. "The children of your bereavement, those born in captivity, will yet say in your ears, 'This place is too cramped for me. Make room for me that I may live here.'" And what the Lord started telling me about that, he said, we often think our failures are just that, stuff that he throws out. You know, he'll work it for good. He'll work something good out of it. But he just throws that part of us out. But y'all, he doesn't turn his eyes away from anything about us. He takes everything, every failure, every trial, every thought, everything we say, he takes everything. He takes notice and embraces everything about us. And the whole time that we feel like we're just blowing it, or that we're in that place of captivity, that place of bereavement, that's the place where when you're in your failure, you just think, God, it's just wasted. And the Lord says, the minute you turn your eyes to him, he begins to show you all the stuff he did in you in that failure. He shows you all the treasure that's in that darkness. He pulls it out. And that begins to be your theme. And when you go to him enough times with the same failure over and over again, or new failures, whatever, and you're met with love every single time, you begin to start getting convinced that he's not going to leave you, he's not going to forsake you, and he's not going to fry you for what you did. You've realized that he really is calling us up and calling us in and not out. He's not standing there ready to rebuke us. And honestly, in my walk with the Lord, there's only been a few times that I felt like God was rebuking me. And it was even his rebuke is lovely. His rebuke is, it's lovely. It draws you in. Just his voice, it doesn't matter what he's saying to you. His voice is so, Song of Solomon says that everything that comes out of his mouth is wholly desirable. There's nothing about him. whether he's correcting you and drawing you to something or whatever, it's desirable. It makes you want to give him whatever it is he's asking for. It just makes you want to run into his presence. But I've only had just a couple times in my life that I had what I felt like God was really correcting me, and it was when I had an attitude toward people. And y'all, I feel like I've had so many failures in my lifetime, but I can honestly tell you, the only real time that I felt like God ever really, really corrected me in kind of that way that you, and it brought me to my knees, but I had an attitude toward someone. And that's happened twice in my walk with the Lord. Other than that, I've never, ever felt like that God has gotten on to me about anything. Yeah, I mean, he convicts us and he draws us to himself, but I've never felt like the Lord has rebuked me. And there's a difference there. There have been lots of things that God changes my mind on, but he didn't change my mind by telling me how wrong it is. He changed my mind by showing me how right something else is. That consuming fire consumed that part. And you know that scripture that talks about that God is a consuming fire? And I really, really feel like the Lord told me one day, he said, I don't consume you with, I think how he put that to me. He consumes our stuff by transforming it into his image. He transforms our brokenness into his image. His consuming fire is about his love. It's about him telling you and convincing you of his great love for you. And y'all, we are in crazy times, and we have to be convinced that God loves us and that he is never going to leave us or forsake us, and that he's 100% of the time just absolutely just, he is completely committed to chasing us down. He's completely committed to transforming everything about us. No matter where you're at, whether if you're in a place where you think you're in failure, he is completely committed to taking that failure and turning it into something beautiful and changing you. When you come out of, if you've ever noticed, when you come out of a hard place, whether it be your own doing, because scripture says the rebellious dwell in a parched land. The only reason that the rebellious dwell in a parched land is because they're not seeing him. When you're looking at something else and you're trying to find your life in something else, you will be parched. Because nothing else can satisfy you. Nothing else can quench that thirst. But we have to be convinced of God's love for us and that he's not going to reject us. We have an enemy that's just steadily. The enemy is as committed to us, almost as committed to destroying us as God is to keeping us. And we cannot forget that we are in a world at war. And we have to slam dunk, nail the coffin shut once and for all. I'm loved. I'm accepted. God's not going to leave me. He's not going to reject me. And then everything else about you is going to come out of that. Everything about you, your walk, if you're not convinced that God's not going to leave you, you're never going to get out of the boat and walk on water. Y'all, I'm walking on water right now. I'm just telling you. This is getting out of the boat and walking on water. I was thinking, you know, I was really nervous because I know me. But I was really excited because I know him. And I thought, you know, he's got this. He's, and I know that he wanted me to do this without a shadow of a doubt. So I could just, and I'm using me as an example because I know that rejection is such a big thing that people deal with. And it's something that God, he spends so much time convincing us of who we are. But sometimes, y'all, it's a war. Sometimes it is a war. Scripture gives us everything that we need to know how he feels about us, okay, to know it. Song of Solomon says, we're altogether blameless and spotless. There's no blemish in us. In another place, he said, your feet are beautiful in sandals. Well, the whole point of that, y'all, is this. Back in those days, they wore sandals. Their feet got dirty. And so, you know, they'd go into the house, take their shoes off, and wash their feet. And the Lord there is saying to us, your feet are beautiful to me even when they're dirty. Your feet are beautiful to me. If we can come, if we can get that in our soul, that even when our feet are dirty, he still says they're beautiful, you're going to be so much quicker to want to run, to want to get out of the boat. You know, when you know that you can get out and it's safe, you're going to get out. You're not going to get out if you're not convinced he's going to be there with you and that he's going to walk with you. You're not going to get out of the boat if you're not convinced of that. How do we get convinced? Time with the Lord. Time with the Lord. I don't care if all you have is 5 minutes. And you guys, we've heard this a million times. Get with the Lord. Spend that time. Read your word. Listen for what he has to say. Whatever it takes, make time for the Lord. Because we're a lot like Moses. When Moses came off the mountain, the glory faded. You can have glory on you, but if you don't keep that relationship, if you don't keep stoking the fire and getting to know the Lord, and we do get to know him. I don't know him as good as I am going to know him 10 years from now. And if I just never spend any time with him, I'm probably not going to know him real well 10 years down the road either, you know? He is calling us to time with him. And that means, and I'm just going to be bold and say this, that means you take time to give to him. That means you stop what you're doing, you set aside some time, and you give that to the Lord. Now, you may not be able to do that every day, but you make it a consistent choice to spend time with the Lord, and you pursue him. You pursue him, and I promise you, you will find him. He says that over and over in Scripture. If you will seek me with your whole heart, I will give you me. I will let myself be found. I will. And the funny thing is, you know, we're pursuing him, but we're pursuing him because he pursued us. So we're just answering a call. But I promise you, if you will seek the Lord, you will find him. And you will find him in reality. You will find him in, he will become tangible to you. He will become real to you. It won't be an idea that you want to believe and you try to believe. It'll be like, you know him. You know him like I know Craig. And he knows me. I know Jesus, and I know that I'm known by God. Okay? We can actually have that. We can actually be healed from rejection. And I'm going to tell you, rejection has to be healed. You can read all the books you want to, all the self-help, all the whatever kind of books you want to read. You will not see it healed unless the Father himself heals you, because only he can heal and change your inner man. Only he can transform us. Only he can turn those things around. But we have to believe that he wants to. We have to believe that he wants to heal us. We have to believe that he loves us like that. We get to know that by spending time with the Lord. Even Scripture talks about be careful to not miss the day of rest. Not to be careful to press in, pursue. Don't miss that day. Don't miss it. It's being offered to us right now, you know. So we can miss entering in here. We know who we are. I know where I'm going when I die. And I know that I am spotless and blameless before the Lord. But I can put myself in positions to not experience it. I can put myself, and y'all, The enemy knows. He watches. He looks for a prime moment to come at us. We can't forget we're in that world of war. We cannot forget that. Because he never forgets. These notes were not put together very well. And the other thing is, when he's calling us up, and he's calling us to set our minds, this is part of the warfare that we do, to set our minds on things that are, I'm just going to read it. Because there's an art to warfare. And the main thing is standing on what you know God is saying to you. When you know who God is, you know. And sometimes you look like, sometimes you feel like that, where did I see that? Where's that scripture? Set your mind on things that are above. It's in Philippians? I think it's Philippians. Philippians in there. That cannot be right. Because I didn't read in Colossians. Okay. Philippians 4:8. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, and whatever is respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Having been deeply rooted in him and now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught and overflowing in it with gratitude. So when the Lord is always calling us up and calling us in, there's an art to the warfare. And I'm just going to share with you how I do my warfare. It takes standing your ground because sometimes you're not... The monologue you think you're having is actually a dialogue most of the time when you're in a battle. And so, because you've got the enemy just coming at you with all these things. But when you know that God has said, set your mind on things that are above, and he's clearly said to you how to do that, you know, okay, I know that if this is not of good report, I don't listen to it. I know that if this does not bring me peace, I don't listen to it. And so if you know we've got weapons right here in our word, obviously, but when you know what it is, your battle, and you know where to set your mind, that's when you're standing on that. Stand on that. Sometimes you have to do it over and over again, a million times a day. You stand on what God has told you, you stand on what you know to be true. I know I'm altogether beautiful and lovely. Sometimes I have to stand my ground and say that over and over again until it starts to fade, because the Bible's very clear. If we resist the devil and submit to God, well, resisting the devil and submitting to God go hand in hand. You're submitting to God because you're submitting to what he says. And when you do that, you're resisting the devil. You're resisting his lies. And you may be hearing them, you may be feeling them, but you're standing your ground. And then what happens? You stand your ground, the devil flees. All those voices that you were hearing are gone. And you find that you have God has somehow taken you a little bit deeper, because every time you stand your ground and you win that war, you will find it a little easier the next time. It just gets easier. It just kind of, until God teaches you something new, and then you kind of start over again. But you'll find that in as you stand your ground, that the how that having been deeply rooted, you'll find that you're experiencing what it feels like to be deeply rooted. You'll find that your thoughts are begin to be thoughts of someone who's just deeply rooted in God's love. And y'all, God's love has just blown me away. Paul said, he prays that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, that we might see the height, the depth, the width of God's love. And y'all, since Mother's Day, I can say that verse means something so much different to me now, because it is so much bigger and better than I thought. When you can really, really know that your feet are beautiful in sandals, even when they're dirty, it's bigger than you thought. It's better than we thought. I've been being blown away since Mother's Day. I don't even, all I can say is I've just been in utter, just blown away mode. It just hasn't stopped. When we let God heal us of rejection, we are able to not reject other people. I'll tell you, when you really encounter God, when you really encounter His love and His acceptance, as we're encountering that, and you really walk into, you know, conviction is just changing your mind, right? So when God is changing your mind and turning you away from feeling rejected all the time to being just caught up in Him and just knowing that you're accepted in Him, then you find that you do that for other people too. I'm telling you, real, real encounter with God, real grace transforms you, and it creates humility. And to me, I feel like humility is probably the whole point of rejection. People, when they fear rejection, they spend all their time trying to protect their self and trying to only let people see what they want them to see, because they're so afraid if they see something else that they won't be liked. So when you're living like that, you do that to people. You are, because you're really rejecting yourself. You don't, if you don't think you're important and you don't really think what you have to say is important, you know, you're not going to say it, right? But you'll do that to other people. We reject, God doesn't reject us, but we do reject each other. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins and overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. When that verse there that says that love covers a multitude of sins, love covers a multitude of sins. Love heals trauma. Rejection is trauma. Love heals it. God even said it covers a multitude of sins. It brings healing to our soul. When we love each other unconditionally, can you imagine if we all loved each other like God loved us, that we saw somebody's dirty feet and we said, God, your feet are beautiful. You're beautiful even with those dirty feet. And all we could think about, instead of worrying about ourselves, instead of worrying about because you have something to give when you know that God's not, when you're not rejected by the Lord, you have that to give somebody else to not reject them. I can't even imagine, and I believe that's what God is talking about when He talks about that we're going to, when the world is going to look at us and they're going to see that kind of love, They're going to see us loving each other in our dirty feet. They're going to see us not pointing out each other's dirty feet. They're going to see, because we're going to, y'all, you can't muster this up. You can make choices. I can make a choice. Hey, I'm not going to, I could go talk about you and I could point out all your stuff, or I cannot. So I can make that choice. But when you are absolutely being transformed by the Lord, like when you're catching that vision and you're really standing your ground that you can't be rejected by the Lord, and you're growing in that, and that's becoming real to you, and that's becoming your life, you give that away freely to people. You find yourself not even, it's humbling. It's humbling to be loved like that. It's humbling to be met by love like that over and over again by the Father. And it makes you humble. It creates humility. And you find yourself, you're so knowing that it's, you have been so loved that you just can't help but love others like that. You can't help but want to give away that free gift of grace and that free gift of mercy and that free gift of acceptance. We can help each other by loving each other. We can help each other. We can heal each other's trauma. We can heal each other's rejection by how we respond to each other. But again, you got to have something to give, right? And today, like even now at this moment, you have something. Because you've heard the word. You've heard that your Father will never leave you nor forsake you. You've heard that that he doesn't call you out, but tells you that your feet are beautiful in sandals. You've heard that. That's in us now. It's like it may just be a little bit of in you, like maybe a little bit of a vision, but you stand on that like Scripture says. You stand on that, and you keep seeking the Lord, and it grows. And you have that to give away now. If someone's ugly to you, if someone hurts your feelings or whatever, you can stop and go, you know what? It's just their brokenness. Their feet are beautiful in sandals. Because y'all want to know something? God's looking at me telling me that, but he's looking at all of y'all and telling you that too. And if I have the nerve to decide that I'm going to shame you because your feet are dirty, I got to remember, I'm not shaming you. I'm shaming Jesus. And that is a real reality, y'all. How you treat each other, how we treat each other. We've got to get in our hearts, hear this too, that we are doing that to Jesus. That is real. That is real. God looks at every one of us and says, our feet are beautiful in sandals. And when he talks about loving each other, and loving each other, I don't know how to quote the scripture, but he talks about perfect love. Do what? But there's another one, though, but he talks about, which that's a good one, though, because when you love people like that, it does cast their fear out. When he loves us like that, when we're met by love over and over again, it casts our fear out. Then we can love others. It casts their fear out. They get to where they're not scared to approach us. They get to where they're not afraid they're going to get rejected if they don't do it right. We can have such a big part of that. But there's a where it talks about loving each other, like how they'll know us by our love. But it talks about being perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we all know that there's no way on the face of this earth we're going to be perfect. There's just no way. He's perfect, but he's not a perfectionist, right? So we all know that we're not going to be perfect. But so how is that to love perfectly? It's to love like Jesus loves. It's to love each other with the same acceptance and the same, your feet are beautiful in sandals, just like Jesus does. That's how you have perfect love. Y'all, it's the thing that he's most concerned about in all of Scripture. It's everything. It's all about wooing us, convincing us of his great love, and from there, us give it out. That's Scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, will, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the theme of Scripture, y'all, is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. So I found myself over the years, whenever I would see that I'm struggling with something, or if I see that I'm, if I find that I'm being frustrated with someone, right? Or stuff like that, I always, my first thought is, Lord, show me where I'm missing you. Show me where I'm not receiving your love for me. Because if you're locked in on him and you're receiving the love for yourself, that's what's going to be given to other people. Did y'all know that none of us get on God's nerves? None of us. Yet, do people get on our nerves? And I'm telling you that God is calling us up and above and higher than that. But you know what? It all comes from him. It all comes from knowing who you are in him. It comes from knowing that you're loved. If I see myself, someone's getting on my nerves, I know for a fact I'm not seeing love the way I should. I'm not hearing how loved I am. Somewhere I'm not hearing it, or I would be giving it. And I always turn things back on me. I'm a very sanguine person. A sanguine personality likes to feel good, likes to have fun, likes to just go, do, people person. I'm a very sanguine person. So when the Lord said that you'll be much happier if you just let me have it all, and I was like, okay, that's a lot of stuff still. Like, you know, I'm just, I had a lot more years to grow in the Lord. But when he said that he came to give us joy and life more abundantly, I'm like, okay, if you want, I'm all about that. I'm all about, yes, Lord, you can have this. You can have this attitude. You can have this, because I like feeling good. I don't like feeling bad. I don't like dwelling in a scorched land. So I wouldn't say that my motivation's always like necessarily holy, but it gets me there. And I mean, you know, feeling good is, he did he not say, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly? Yeah, you can't have abundant life and hate people. You can't have abundant life and be always critical of people. You can't, and if you're critical, it's because you don't know how loved you are. If you see that in your life, you can go, okay, Lord, show me. There's so much more. I mean, we get to love from his love. His love gives us fullness of, my best friend, joy. I like joy. I don't like sadness. In his presence is fullness of joy. So we get to trade up. We get to have all that. If you find yourself and you don't feel like that you have abundant life, if you're sad, if you're miserable, if you don't really like yourself, even though you may not want people to know that, if you find yourself feeling insecure about being able to step out and give your heart on something, or get up and preach on a Sunday morning or something, you can literally stop and say, Lord, the problem isn't this. These aren't the problems. The fear's not the problem. The problem is that I'm not seeing you. And I want to see you. I don't, you know, and I know I like myself better. I do. I like myself better when I'm walking in the Spirit. I like myself a lot better when I'm walking in the Spirit than when I'm walking in the flesh. A lot. And because that's who we are called to be. And this is a total side note. Total side note. Craig and I were talking about this morning about how, about people getting on people's nerves and that, and about, we were just kind of getting tickled thinking about, because, you know, we do counseling. I guess everybody in here knows that. We were just getting tickled at how some of the people that we counsel will be like so mad at their husband or vice versa. And so they'll get mad because their husband or wife are not meeting their needs. Well, then they get mad, and what do? They return that. Well, he did this, so, and he's not really meeting this need. And I thought, what is the difference? If I was mad at Craig, which I have been at times, if I was mad at Craig, and then I turn around and I treat him with the same, when I treat him, even though we like to think, oh, he deserved it because he sure didn't do this. If I turn around and treat him like that, what am I doing that's any different than what I'm mad at him for doing? Nothing, except mine is probably vindictive, and his was probably just done out of ignorance. That's just the truth. Most people, it's the truth. Most people are not just mean and trying to be mean to each other. They're not. Most people, when you get your feelings hurt, it's probably done in ignorance. And sometimes you just have to step back and just love people where they are. But if I can leave anything with y'all, it's this. We can be healed. We absolutely can. And you can't be healed apart from Jesus. But he absolutely wants to heal us. And he does not want us walking in rejection. And he does not want us rejecting other people. We're being called to, this is like an end time, y'all. I'm telling y'all, revival is spreading across this land. I'm watching it going down here with all the tornado stuff. Revival is spreading across this land. And it's going to look like love. So I would just encourage y'all to just get God by the whatever, his robe, and just shake him. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until I know I'm loved. I will not let you go until I see out of my own life me loving other people. Until what is important to you is important to me. Amen.